It's encouraging when we worship to say things out of our mouth that we normally wouldn't say. And it's always good when we come together, when we worship together. But I want to encourage you, in these hours, in these days where we think things are real dark and real scary and things that are going on, we need to be people more of God's word, not just in reading, but prophesying and speaking. Right? We got to speak to the situations as if not that they are, but as they should be, or not as they are, but as God wants them to be, or not as they are, but God's word says that they will be, okay? We are in days that is getting closer to Christ's return. For 2,000 years, people have been looking to the clouds for Jesus to come, and it seems to be getting darker, and I think oftentimes we think it is getting darker, but oftentimes I think we think it's getting darker too because we have a thing called technology, so we now know what's going on all over the place. But do I need to remind you what the Word of God teaches? It's been dark since the beginning of sin. It's been bad. It's been real bad. And what have people done? In the midst of darkness, people speak light. They speak light, they speak life, they speak to the situations, and through people's faith and through the power of the Holy Spirit, things change. And they can still change today. So we got to be people that don't just sing on Sunday, but prophesy on Monday and speak to the situations on Tuesday and start saying God's word out on Wednesday. Start living on Thursday with what we just read about, singing again on Friday and on Saturday, getting in our prayer closets and into the people and into the marketplace and prophesying God's word so we can come and get filled up again so we can do it again and we can do it again and we can do it again. We cannot just be people of this house. We got to be people of God's church that goes everywhere and speaks and prophesies God's truths in this day and age. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm done preaching. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Home Bible. Thank you for joining us online. It's good to see the house with lots of people in it today as well. There's something special about being together. Amen. Something special about being together. I love that we have an opportunity that you cannot be with us, you still join us. And if you're going to watch this recording later, I pray that it blesses you just as much as this day that you're watching than it did this day that we recorded. Praise God, praise God. It's good to be in the house today, joining together for worship. I wanted to say something this morning. You know, oftentimes we have taught, unfortunately, or maybe it's just human nature, that we become consumers of everything, especially Americans. We're just used to consuming. We throw more trash away than most countries will have. We throw more trash away in a month than most countries will throw away in a year, right? We just consume and consume and consume and consume. But oftentimes, we need to read God's word, and that's not what we're called to do. We're not called to just be consumers, we're called to be ambassadors. What's an ambassador? It's going in behalf of another, right? You're representing. We are Christ's ambassador. We are representing Jesus by going somewhere and standing in the gap in that place and being a representation of Jesus. And yesterday, we had an amazing outreach. Now, a lot of people do backpack outreaches, which are great and wonderful and needed. I love that we specialize in something outside of the norm of backpacks, is we personalize every backpack. So we see if it's a boy or a girl, we see what grade that they're going into, and then we want to know what school they're attending. So we can get a sheet from that school of a list of all the things that they need for that year, and we give them a backpack and supplies as much as we can specifically for their needs. So that way, like, kindergartners don't get protractors, right? And you don't give, like, little funny erasers to, you know, a college-age kid, although that sometimes is pretty cool, and I think I did it when I was in college. It just makes it more fun. But it was super awesome. It was great to be a part of it again. We had over 300 this year people that came in, and a majority of the people that we got to witness to and be ambassadors to and to pray for. See, every single family cannot leave. You want a backpack? You will get prayer, right? Right? we're going to do, we want to pray for protection and we want to bless your family. We're going to pray for that your family is going to have the best year that they've ever had. And these backpacks, and they pray over the backpacks before you even get them. So people are walking out of here, but a majority of the people that we got to minister to, and it has been like this for the last few years, is African refugees. And I told my friend Siri yesterday that, you know what I love about African refugees is, you know what they teach me and they remind me? They remind me of appreciation. These people are coming from a country where their families slaughtered in front of them. There are wars everywhere that they go. They run to refugee camps and they're scattered from their family. And they come to America for rescue. They come to America for safety. And how do they do it? Do they do it with their heads down? They're so thankful. They're so thankful for everything that they receive. And they teach me, as an American boy that's always had everything he's ever wanted, and if I didn't, I could just put it on a credit card. They teach me to appreciate even the little things, because I don't have to live worrying if my family's going to be slaughtered tomorrow, or if I have to run for my life, or if I know what's going to, or I don't have food on my table. I don't know what that's like, but I'm so thankful that we get to bless them, and we got more blessed than they did. And I'm so thankful to have an opportunity. But there's a lot of people that made that happen. We have a missions and outreach team. We have a lot of people that join them and help them in a lot of our outreaches. And I just want you to know, church, God is moving things and he's changing things. And next year will be a year that you just can't sit. This won't be the church for you. This will not be the church for you. There'll be other churches that you can get fed and fed and fed and fed and fed and fed and fed. But this will be a church that we hand out the bread that we feed. Okay? We have to get involved. If we're not getting involved, we're actually not following Christ. Because everywhere that Jesus went, he was a giver. He was a servant. He wasn't a consumer. And so I want to just honor the people that made that happen. If you had any involvement at all in the backpack outreach to bless our community, to bless our city, to pray over children and families. If that were you, will you stand? And if you didn't, will you just give them a hand? Please stand right now. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you. Just stay standing, please. Hours and hours. Stay standing, please, if you will. If you want, oh, stay standing, please. Now you're going to have, that's it, get her a mic. She has to now preach. She would too. If you have any questions on how to get involved, talk to one of them before you leave. One of them. Or ask them, hey, what did you do? Or how did it go? Or how do I get involved more next year about this? Or what kind of outreaches are we having soon? Or whatever. Talk to them, okay? They have a passion, they have a desire, they just were involved, they want to do things for our city. We're oftentimes given new things and new projects to do, and a lot of them are always involved, but we want to see everybody involved. Let me tell you, if you don't have time, make time, because you don't have time not to have time. You got to make time to give back. You live in a community that needs Christ, and people are going to hell every day, and a simple thing by giving a backpack could send somebody to heaven by praying over them, because they know there's a church that they can come to that doesn't just gather on Sunday but loves people every day. Okay? We love people every day. Okay, you can be seated. Thank you. Praise God. I'd be the happiest pastor in the world if all I ever had to do is preach and do outreach. I would. But we're not called to all those things. Sometimes we have to do things that we don't necessarily like to do, but we're called to do. Amen? Everybody's got to find what you love. You know, oftentimes the things that you love is what God wants to use through you to bless this world. Right? As long as it's not sin. If you love some sin, that ain't God. That's your flesh. You got to get over that. Right? You got to get past that. You need to sacrifice something today. But if it is a gifting, a calling, an excitement that you like, man, every day I love this. That's because God wants to use that gifting, those talents for his kingdom, The reason why you have that is because you've been given that, and you've been given that for a purpose and a plan. You exist not to worship yourself, but to worship God through the things that he's given you. Amen? Amen. This month's series is titled Truth in the Chaos. Anybody need some truth in here? Say, amen. Amen. Oh, that's weak. Amen. You need some truth? Say, amen.
Amen.
Come on now. There you go. Amen. I need some truth. How do we know what's true when there's so many different voices telling us what to do all the time? People are desperately confused. This month, we're going to tackle the reigning philosophies of our day of postmodernism, relativism, and a popular view called the goodness of man. We're going to combat these viewpoints by standing on the absolute truth, which is what, church? Say it like you know it. The Word of God. That is the absolute truth. I'm going to ask everybody to stand as I read scripture this morning, just in honor of this scripture. Will you just stand with me right now? I'm going to read Romans 10, 13 through 17. It says this, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how will they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent?" This is why the scripture says, "How beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news." But not everyone welcomes the good news. Church, even Jesus was denied his own gospel preaching to people. Rich young ruler is a great example. But not everyone welcomes the good news, for Isaiah the prophet said, "Lord, who has believed our message?" So faith comes by hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. Thank you. You may be seated. Church, how can you know that you are dying unless someone tells you you have a terminal disease? How can you know that you need to be set free unless someone tells you you are captive? How can you tell if something is wrong unless someone tells you what is right? I pray in the midst of our current chaos, you will continue to hear the good news of Jesus Christ so you can be healed, so you can be set free, so you can know the truth. Now, the final version of the Declaration of Independence declares these truths, declares these words, says this, quote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." End quote. Amen. This is the foundational piece of America that cannot be removed or taken away. Or can it? We were founded on godly words. I know you're at church today, so you know we share similar mindsets probably. But I can stand in front of a crowd and I could legitimately say we were founded on godly words, and you cannot deny it. You just can't. And if you deny it, that means you actually haven't read it. You haven't read what has been established in this country. And when I mean read, I mean literally signed documents that established this country. We have been founded on godly words like those found in the Declaration of Independence, and we were built on godly principles that made this nation the greatest nation that has ever been. Unfortunately, in our modern America, our unalienable rights are eroding. And many in power are trying to dig them up and throw them out and form a new kind of foundation in America. A foundation that is not recognizable when it comes to the Word of God. It is just not recognizable. But that couldn't happen to the incorruptible, invincible, impenetrable United States of America, could it? Well, it already has. America has had one revolution, and I believe we are in our second revolution. The first revolution was one of a colonist resistance. They won their political, religious, and physical freedoms in 1776 against Great Britain and its oppression. Praise God. God bless America. You're an American because of that. You're in America, even if you're not an American, because of that. The second revolution that I believe that we are in right now is one that's being fought by a Catholic and a Christian resistance against postmodernism, relativism, and a humanistic worldview. The American dream sadly has morphed into our own selfish desires. Most of you are not old enough. There are a couple of you that are. You were not born into what's known as the greatest generation. You know why the greatest generation is called that? It's because they understood self-sacrifice. Because they understood what it meant to wave a flag and go into a war to fight for freedom, even if they give their own life, that they know their family, their friends, and people they'll never meet will be able to be free for all of their life because of what they gave in those wars. They're the greatest generation because they understood self-sacrifice, that even though I can't get exactly what I want, if it's going to bless someone else, I'd rather do that. What's been happening, unfortunately, for the past 50, 60, 70 years is we began to kick God out of our country and kick God out of our churches, and we've replaced him with self. How many times, Brent, you do a great job not doing this, but how many times do you hear worship songs in churches and it's all about me? Everything I can get from God and how I need God and I need worship and praise are to give him glory and him honor. But even in our own worship in our churches, we've switched it to ourself. See, there's this popular philosophy in America right now called this, the goodness of man. Most people anymore believe that they were born good. I was born good. Celebrity pastors, specifically one that can't stop smiling, you can know if you know who it is. Sometimes they even preach that same concept. They've literally said out of their mouths, you were born good, right? You've been born good. You've been born good. But something else caused you to be bad. Now, God is an artist who loves to create, doesn't he? You know what? I grew up in Oregon, born and raised. Oregon is the, no offense, the prettiest country or state I've ever seen in my life. It is the prettiest state. I love it because we have oceans, we have rivers, we have lakes, we have high desert, we have rain, we have mountains, like real mountains, right? Right? A lot of people say, oh, look at that mountain over there. That's a hill. There's an actual amount of footage that needs to happen to call that a mountain that is a hill, right? I get it. You're not used to it. Okay. I remember driving to high school, and Mount Hood is either in front of me or behind me in my rearview mirror, and I can just see it, and I'm just driving like it's nothing. Like, a mountain is right there, right? So God creates beautiful things. We've been to South Dakota. One thing when I moved to Iowa that I thought was when I saw those rolling hills, and I saw those, all my Iowans are like, wait a second, that's me. And I saw those bean fields and those corn fields and that old school red barn right there and that really pretty just scenery, and I thought, man, am I looking at a painting right now of America, right? God creates amazing things. If you haven't, drive out of the city or drive downtown. We walked downtown last night, our family just did, just enjoying the great weather, and we literally walked on a bridge and just looked around and we're like, man, this is a beautiful city. As it starts to get dark, the lights come out, and it just is so pretty. God He's an artist who loves to create, and he creates great things. And God made mankind capable of thinking and feeling for himself. God didn't create us to be stupid, right? God gave us the ability to reason. So why do we oftentimes choose the wrong path? Why do we choose to get into trouble? Right? We like to blame other people. That's my friends that got me there. No, you chose those friends. You chose to go. That's your choice. Why do we sometimes choose pain over peace? And why do we find ourselves choosing chaos over the truth? With our current philosophies and our world teachings, many in and out of the church have come to believe in the goodness of man and the truth that is found in humanity. As Christians, we should be asking this question to ourselves. Ask yourself this question: do I believe there is a hidden truth within myself? Maybe you've heard this term called humanism before. If you have, say amen. Humanism. Here's the definition: an outlook or system of thought attaching prime importance to humans rather than divine or supernatural matters. Humanistic beliefs stress the potential value and goodness of human beings, emphasize common human needs, and seek solely rational ways of solving human problems. Humanism establishes self-governance over God-governance. According to this belief system, if man is good, then we should be able to find truth within ourselves, particularly truth apart from any authority, which must mean that humans were born good, or at least the possibility of them being born good. But man, we have seen since creation through the stories in the Bible, even historical stories, by the way, Hitler was real. He killed millions of Jews. He killed anyone and everyone who didn't look like him. That happened. That is our history, no matter what this world wants to teach you. And you can even look at our current world affairs. Mankind is good. It's further from the truth. Our natural bent will always be toward unrighteousness. And unrighteousness separates us from God's eternal truth. Anyone who believes that we were born inherently righteous, I was born inherently good, if you believe that, need not look any further than the fruit of your own children. Any parents in here? Can I get a amen? Amen. No, you gotta do one of these. Amen. Sorry, not sorry. Because everybody in here is a child at one point in their life. Did you have to teach your kids to sin? Did you have to teach that two-year-old?
No.
Right? Hey, come on over.
No.
Hey, put that down.
No.
Hey, don't drop that.
No.
Right? Did you have to teach them that? Did you have to teach them to talk back to you? Did you have to teach them to lie? How about, did you have to teach them to rebel against authority? Man, I said so. So? Right? Wait a second. Now, God created each one of us unique in our personalities, in our physical characteristics, unique in our own experiences, unique in our own backgrounds. And the Bible says that you are a masterpiece. Amen? Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago." Notice we are God's masterpiece. Amen? Love that. But it's not on our own doing or because of our own existence that we are God's masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece because we are made new in Christ Jesus only. You don't believe it? Let me just read the Bible again, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. And a lot of people like to park there. And then you're like, yes, yes, yes. So much you become your own idol. Not only not on our own doing. I'm God's masterpiece. Thank you, Lord. But it's not on my own doing or because of my own existence. We are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. You are an original. If you're an original, say, that's me. Yes, this is true. But there are some things that are true about every human being that has ever lived. Many believe that they're one of a kind in every aspect. I mean, look at the celebrities we have. Look at the athletes we have. By the way, we oftentimes complain how much athletes get paid and actors and these famous people get paid, but yet you keep going to the shows and you keep going to these things and you're giving them your money. You know? So don't complain about it. Do one or the other. Like, I love sports and I want to do that, but oftentimes these people and even ourselves, we think we're one of a kind in every aspect. We put ourselves on a pedestal, but unfortunately, church, that's called pride. Every one of us is a child of Adam. That's the first man that God created. Sadly, as we see, every one of us is born into this thing called sin. Yes, I said sin from the pulpit. This is how people used to preach. As a result of our first father's sin, Romans 5:12 says this, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone. You think coronavirus is bad? 99% recovery rate, right? Okay, you think that's bad? Sin has 0% recovery rate, okay? Anyway. Okay. It's a real disease too, and people are dying, and it is a sickness. So don't be cocky, okay? Don't get cocky about it, okay? Where's the love of God's church, right? There are people dying. But it is 99% recovery rate. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Right? Yes! So far the sermon's awesome, right? Amen. Here's another way to say that. In other words, every one of us has said, no! 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 Pastor comes up, he says, hey, let's get involved. We need more people in the children's ministry. And people say, no. How do I know that? Because we've barely got any more people in the children's ministry. We've talked back, we've lied, we've rebelled against authority in our lives, every single person in this room or anyone who's ever going to hear this. Why? Because each of us carries the DNA of the original man, Adam. And with the DNA of Adam comes the curse of Adam's original sin. Now, the Bible teaches, since the fall in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, man decided to worship himself first. Now, that happened. And mankind still does that today. Mankind exchanged the truth for a lie. The depravity of man needed a righteous Savior to rescue him. Thank God. The Father in heaven for Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen? But where did this idea come from the goodness of man and self-worship? If you remember a couple weeks ago, I preached on postmodernism and relativism as the two major philosophies ruling our time. Postmodernism says there is no truth. Relativism says that there is no absolute truth because there are differing versions of truth. And that depends on your culture, and that will depend on your historical context. That's what those philosophies say. But I want us to go further back for a moment, and I want to teach on something here. There's another philosophy that can be dated back all the way to Plato. I'm not the stuff that you play with, right? The philosopher, right? All the way back to Plato. I remember that. I ate some of that, right? It's really salty. Don't eat it. It's gross. The new formula doesn't taste near as good as the old one, right? Okay. It's much more natural back in the day. I've heard that before. I don't know. Oh, it's messed up. But we're going to go back even further, and we're going to go back. It might even be further than Plato, the philosopher, and it's called this. It's called moral realism. Another way that it's been described is ethical realism. Wait, you guys look this way. Ethical realism. It's a worldview that put an emphasis on human sin and human weakness. Here's an example. Biblical figures like David and Moses, they were amazing leaders, and they were sinful. One was a murderer, and one was an adulterer, and a murderer. David just had to up Moses, I guess. They were incredible, but they were deeply flawed. Augustine and the early church fathers talked constantly about the depravity of sin and our need for grace in our lives. Around the 18th century, moral realism finally found its rival in a thing called moral romanticism. Now, skipping forward, you can go all the way forward to 1946. And there's this guy, he was a rabbi, and his name is Rabbi Lieberman. He published a book called this, Peace of Mind. Anybody read that book, Peace of Mind? Good, this is going to be all new. Plus, it's a bunch of junk. Let me tell you why. The book urged people toward a new morality. It's based on the idea, this is a quote, never repress any part of yourself as sinful. Okay? Instead, you should love yourself and not be afraid of your hidden impulses. Okay? 1946. The book struck such a chord, it became a New York Times bestseller for 58 years. Anybody born before 1946, if you would have been a reader at that moment, you would have known it. For over a year of your life, this book was number one. Humanists, psychologists, they ran with this. They ran with this. They began arguing that the primary problem for humans was no longer sin, but rather the fact that we weren't fully accepting ourselves exactly as we should. This line of thinking led to the advent of this thing called the self-esteem movement in 1969. Some of you might have lived during that or know about it. And the core of that movement morphed into what Charles Taylor was a famous philosopher. He called it this, the culture of authenticity. In 1969, moving on, we're in the culture of authenticity. In church, most of us were born into this. The central belief of the culture of authenticity is this. Quote, at the center of everyone is a golden figure known as true self. This true self can always be trusted. You know that what you're doing is right when you feel an inner peace or a shalom inside of your true self. You know what you're doing is wrong if you do not feel that peace, end quote. Through this philosophical progression, birthed a movement that we all live in every single day, and we're living in right now. These teachings teach that because true self is inherently good, there is no sin to be found in us. I mean, does this sound like foundational things that you see and hear right now? Think about that. We like to blame these radical liberals, but really this is a philosophy that's been taught for 50, 60, 70 years. Many of us in here today actually believe this. It's taught that our true self is inherently good and there's no sin to be found in us. Sin is now only found in external structures of society. There's no sin in me. Sin is in the structures of society that seek to repress my true self and stop it from emerging. Things like the words found in the Declaration of Independence. Why do you think they're trying to destroy some of the stuff, our history, because it's not real history or whatever? Critical race theory is dangerous and evil, if you ask me. Nobody asked me, but I already preached on it, so go back and listen to that. And I told you why. Who cares about your opinion if you don't know why? And who cares about your opinion if you don't love? I love you. I love you. I pray for you all the time. I do this because I love you, and God loves you more. And I want you to know, and I want you to be set free. I don't want you to be bound. I don't want you to be fed a bunch of lies and junk. We got to get in God's word. We have to be people of his promises. And we have to do things, and we have to speak against stuff that is not true. It's breaking down society. America is the greatest country only because God was in America, okay? As we kick God out of America, if you love God more than if you love America more than God, then there's something wrong. If you say I'm an American Christian instead I'm a Christian American, see how that makes sense? Then you are already out of line. If you have more pride for the flag than you do the Bible, there's something wrong. If you're more on God, if you're more on social media preaching to the world all your opinions instead of telling people about what God says, you're out of line. If you're not preaching the truth, but you're always preaching damnation to people, you're out of line. This is not Christianity, okay? Why do I say that? Because the Bible teaches it. And how do I know that? Because I read the Bible, okay? That's why I know that, okay? I'm always learning. So there's this philosophical progression that has taken place in our country, in our world, and the philosophy is this, that there is no sin to be found in me. Sin is found in the structures trying to repress, trying to push down, trying to deny my true self, my golden figure within, who I really am. And they hate, and it goes against the words of the Declaration of Independence. And that's got to be wrong because you tell me what's right and what's wrong. And you tell me what we need to stand on, what we don't. And they absolutely hate the truths that are found in the Bible. This is called hate speech to people now. Okay? These kind of teachers are hate speech. And they, any higher power or anybody in authority that tries to tell another person what is wrong and what is right, they are the external structures of society. That's them that is trying to repress my true self. So don't listen to them. This is what's going on right now. This is more than just what you're listening to and you're mad about things. You know, we get mad about symptoms, but nobody wants to find the root. Okay? Mad about the symptoms all the time, right? Find the root. Rip the root out. Symptoms won't come back. You don't want dandelions? Don't just spray. Get in there. Dig them out. Get them out of there. Okay? Here's the mentality that's been established. And man, I'm telling you, I grew up in Oregon. It's very liberal in Oregon. These are things I never realized until I went to Bible college and started reading the Bible for myself. Nobody taught me this. The Word of God and the greatest teacher of the Word of God, which is the Holy Spirit, spoke to me and was teaching me that, man, I got some things that are wrong in my head. I used to always believe what's right is right for you and what is right for me. And if you don't hurt anybody, do whatever you want. That is not the gospel of Jesus. That's the gospel of man, right? These teachings, you can do whatever you want. It's true. But there's a better way. We've been given a better way. There's a better way. You keep struggling and hurting and going through all these things, and you're on the same path all the time, and you're wondering why, and you want God to intervene, but yet you still think the exact same, you still make the same decisions, because God has to transform the renewing of your mind. He has to wash you in his word, and you have to die to live. You got to stop in the cycles and the mentalities that are taught from this world, and you have to get in with God, what God teaches, and you have to have the mindset of Christ, or you will just be another product of this world. But you've been called to be a masterpiece, right? Amen, a masterpiece. And you're not a masterpiece on your own, you're a masterpiece when you're made new in Christ Jesus, right? We were created as masterpieces. We were created perfect. Adam and Eve were created perfect until they chose that they wanted to be God. And then nothing from that moment on is perfect until Christ comes back, a new heaven, new earth. And there's a lot of wars, a lot of terrible things, a lot of awful stuff that has to take place first. And it won't be better until then. Okay? It just won't. Welcome to a sinful world with sinful bodies. Everything is broken, right? There's the bad news. Here's the good news. You don't have to live like that. If you have Christ Jesus, and I'm not saying say a prayer and listen to all the great sermons that puff you up all the time. If all you ever want to do is just get built up, built up, built up, This is from Holy Spirit. You just can't want to constantly get built up, and the greatest structure that it was ever built up was the one that was worth the most pride, and God tore it down. It's called the Tower of Babel. Yeah. Right. Come on now. That was from the Holy Spirit. And we want to be built up, built up, built up. For what? Exactly. Why? What are you building up to? Be built up to be poured out. Okay? The higher you go, the lower God is. The higher you go, the lower God is. That's why you got to go lower so God can go higher, right? Okay? Okay. Here's the mentality that's been established. Here's what the world has been teaching. No one can tell me right from wrong. I do that by myself because I can find truth within myself by following my impulses. There's no sin to be found in me because what I do is my truth and it's my true self. That's the mentality that we live with many people today. Even though we live in a culture that teaches the goodness of man, that our natural impulses are always good, we must line that way of thinking up to the word of God, and we have to ask these questions back. Everybody in here and anybody hears me online, you got to ask this question to yourself. You got to ask this. Okay? Do we embrace our natural impulses even though we know the Bible says that they are wrong? All of them. Or do we ask God to change us from the inside so we can look more like his image, God's image, instead of the image of man? That's the question we have to ask. We got to ask that every day. Here's a fact. We live in two major kingdoms. We live with two major kingdoms. And we must measure everything up that we do and everything up that we think according to these two kingdoms. And it's simple. There's the kingdom of this world and there's the kingdom of God. Okay? There's the mindset of this world and there's the mindset of Christ. These are the two things that you live with every day. These are the things that you will battle with until you meet Jesus face to face. This is what you will battle. Here's the humanistic definition. Humanism definition again says this. An outlook or system of thought attaching prime importance to humans rather than divine or supernatural matters. Humanistic beliefs stress the potential value and goodness of human beings, emphasize common human needs, and seek solely rational ways of solving human problems. That's the definition. The kingdom of this world is humanistic, and it has been since the very sin from Adam and Eve. It says that you are the most important thing that exists. That everything in this world is to serve you and to make you happy. You always put yourself, your interests, your impulses, your feelings, and your will first. You are in charge, and it's your way. The kingdom of God says that He, the Creator, is the supreme being. And it says this. It says your human impulses are naturally sinful. You must do things God's way because God knows what is best and God knows what is holy. We are to love Him with our complete being. And the mindset of Christ says our purpose to exist is to serve God and to serve others. We are to bring honor and glory to His name. We are important, but God is most important. Some big differences there. In our modern society with postmodernism, relativism, and the goodness of man, we have been taught that all truth comes from human reason. All truth comes from human philosophies. Many no longer seek the kingdom of God mindset above all else because they are stuck. Church, say stuck. They're stuck in the kingdom of this world's mindset, believing in the goodness of man. Matthew 6:33 says this. Seek the kingdom of God where? How? What's the words? Above all else. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. And what will happen? And He will give you everything you need. I want to tell you something real quick. And this is already a mindset that can be broken. Oftentimes we think we know what we need, but we don't really know what we need. And if you right here, have a kingdom of God above all else, and you live righteous, God will give you everything you need because the way that you think and the needs that you have will change to kingdom things and not of this world. And so that's going to be easy to take place because you're already thinking and taking the kingdom above all things, right? One time I really wanted a sweet ride. Right? Or I wanted to own my own business and make lots of money. That was the call for my life. But if I put the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, He's going to give me everything I need. I didn't even know what I needed, but I've been provided. And it's crazy to think I never wanted to be a lead pastor in my life. I never thought of it. I was a youth pastor 3 times, undergrad, youth ministry. Masters wasn't even in anything like that. I had a desire for my life, and it was to own a business. Then through circumstances and things and being asked to be called the lead pastor, I was scared out of my mind. Adults are cool, but that can be cruel. Right? Kids are forgiving. Kids let you mess up because they mess up and they're all right with it. Adults don't let you mess up. They send you emails. Y'all laughing because you sent me an email. Man, I was freaked out. I'm like, half the people in here when I started, they know the word better than I do. Who am I? That's exactly right. Yeah. Who am I, right? So what was awesome is God gives us what we need. Because He gives us the anointings to accomplish what He's called us to. And I remember standing in the doorway of my office and God stopped me and He said, see what I've done? Yeah, it's a nice office, cool. Like, I don't know. Sherry, right here, my secretary, she's behind me. She's cool too, thank you. Like, now see what I've done? I've given you the desires of your heart. Because a lead pastor, in some essences, is an owner of a business. And I'm like, I just fell to my knees. I'm like, God, I didn't know what I wanted. I had desires, but I lived righteous and I chose your kingdom above all else. And you still matched it with things that I love because you are so good to me, right? We sing about it. He's good. He's a good God. Let me tell you, you need to line this up in your life. You need to think about the kingdom above all else. Even if it means getting rid of things that you love, because your impulses say they're right, but God says they're wrong. Give it up. And if you don't give it up, you'll never fulfill the things that God calls you to. And he'll never call you masterpiece. He'll never call you masterpiece because he can't do that if you're not made new in Christ Jesus. Okay? God is calling people forth. It's not okay just to attend church whenever you want because you feel like it. I'm not saying church is done all in all, because it's not. Do you know the world is tired of the same old rigmarole all the time? That was your word last week. Thank you for that. Rigmarole, right? That was one of those words that you liked. Or I know he had a whole bunch of ones. I keep learning words from him. I think half the time he's making them up, but I'm not good enough with vocab, so I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm just okay, that's cool, right? I like that one. But God is doing something. The world's not satisfied by doing church the same way we do church. And here's the reason why. Because half the people who attend church aren't authentic. They're not real. They don't do what they say they do. They don't really believe what they think they believe. And most of the church doesn't even read the Bible themselves. Well, how? I mean, I could feed you some serious, no pun intended, heresy, right, Pastor Harris? I could feed you some serious heresy. And some of you all would just go blind. And you should never do that. You should send an email. Come on. No, but for real, I'm telling you, this church won't be your church if all you want to do is just attend. You just can't be here. You're going to dry up and die out because we got to do something. The world's dying around us, and we just come in and we just absorb. Can't do that. But you got to start somewhere. And where do you start? You got to start with the way that you think. You got to start with the philosophies that you agree with. You got to start with the foundation of how you're built in your mind and heart. And if you truly believe it's about you and you think that you can gain your own truth based off the things, listen, the world's always going to change. 50 years ago, these teachings we're dealing with now didn't quite exist, but there were different ones. 100 years ago, 300 years ago, 3,000 years ago, there were different philosophies, different mindsets, but they all kind of fall under the same thing, and the same thing is this: humanistic philosophies and mindsets are always about us. Humans above God. It's always humans above God. Our ways are better than his ways. Our thoughts are higher than his thoughts. We think we discover something and we're pure geniuses. And God's like, dude, I created that outside of the time that you even understand, right? You live in these dimensions that I don't even live in, right? I have chemistry and philosophy that you can't even comprehend. That's why you use 12 to 13% of your brain because you can't even get it, right? You know what I mean? And you're like, oh, okay, did you just call me dumb? No. But that's why we gotta trust, that's why there's faith, that you have to understand that you don't know everything. And that the world is gonna constantly discover new things, and we worship the created, and we forget the creator, and oftentimes, that's where we messed up. And none of this surprises God. None of this surprises God. It might surprise some of us this morning and some of these words that I'm speaking today, but this doesn't surprise God. And why is that? Because there's been sermons like this or prophetic words from prophets or judges coming in for centuries, or Jesus walking the earth, or disciples spreading the gospel, or priests speaking the truth, or pastors or whatever, or street preachers saying things like this, because God's word is ageless. It's infinite. It's all powerful. It's all the knowledge that we need. And no matter what this world will feed you or whatever philosophy will be of the time, God's goodness will always be supreme. Always. It'll be beyond anything. And even the most intellectual people in the entire world with doctorates and sitting in their room with many leather-bound books and smelling great and sitting and studying all the time can be baffled if they truly get in the Word of God and say, wow, that was written when? By who? Right? Do you understand some of the stuff we read is from the lowest scum of society that reveals the greatest truths through God's Holy Spirit that just blow our mind every day for all generations to come? Did you understand that there are educated people that wrote this and uneducated people that wrote this? Did you understand that it's because of God's truth? God, the Holy Spirit inspired words are in here, and it will never, ever end. It'll never end. It'll supersede all things that we come to. All things that we think enlighten us, it'll be beyond that. It'll break through. That's why it says it can divide through the bone and the marrow. Man, I can get all the way into your soul. And get all the way into your mind. It can go all the way into your spirit and make it new, or it can continue to be dead. It's up to you to make that decision. We live in a severe clash of two kingdoms. It's the goodness of man versus the goodness of God. You're going to experience only one of these two realities by following only one of these two philosophies. You cannot mix these two kingdoms together. They're separate entities that should not be joined together. See, many American Christians and American churches don't know when to stand up against sin anymore in fear of being called intolerant. You bigot. You blankety blank. I've been called a lot of things being a pastor because I'm a person that preaches hate speech. Did you know that 1,500 pastors a month are still leaving the ministry? A month. My wife just reread it to me last night. 1,500. And this is one of the reasons why. There's many reasons. So what some pastors are doing, and so what churches are doing, and some what believers are doing, is they're either staying silent in what they believe in, or they start joining in by claiming that grace covers a multitude of sins. And it does. I'm saved because of that. But here's the problem. Many are saying grace covers a multitude of sins, and they start to celebrate the sin that's around them. Anyone is welcome. Anyone, if you watch this, anyone. I don't care where you're at. I don't even care if you're high. I don't care if you're drunk. I don't care if you're on crack cocaine. I don't care. You come in here, we'll preach the truth. You come as you are, because every single person, everybody comes in here. Everybody's got chains under these nice clothes. Everybody does. You are welcome here. You come as you are, because Christ sets us free. Christ sets us free. The truth will set you free is what the Bible says, and what it's saying is Jesus is the truth. He is the only truth. Here's the sad thing. Some believers, I'm getting close to the end here. Some believers have started mixing humanism with God's holy word, and they're growing this number in a cult called woke Christianity. That's a cult. Why is it a cult? Because it's mixing human reason, human thought, human truths with God's word, God's thoughts, and God's truths. You cannot do that. And when you do that and call it Christianity, I don't think you're reading the Bible. Now, saying that, I want to say this. Where did Jesus spend most of his time? It's not where most of us spend our time. Let me tell you that. It's not in the church. It's with the prostitutes. It's with the drug dealers. It's with the hurting and the broken. It's with the widows and the orphans. It's with the ones that needed him. But oftentimes, this is the only place that we spend time as believers together. But that's not even what Jesus did. This should just be a cherry on top of all the awesome stuff that happened all week, right? This shouldn't be the whole ice cream sundae. Come on now. You're going to get into it and realize it's hollow in that ice cream sundae. Because you're supposed to fill it. Come on now. You cannot be a lover of God and a lover of mammon. Mammon's a false object of worship. You cannot be a lover of God's truth and a lover of this world's humanistic truths. You are either in love with God or you're in love with man. That's just the way it is. The humanistic gospel says this. This is what the humanistic gospel says. This is who I am. Right? This is how I feel. And these are my impulses. I will follow. And God, you're here to please me. That's what the humanistic gospel says. Here's what the biblical gospel says. This is who God is. This is how he feels. And I'm here to honor God with my life. Even if you believe in a gospel that's all about your prosperity, you're not believing in the gospel of Jesus. Do you know every follower of Jesus Christ, all his disciples, all of them died a lonely or horrible death. They suffered everywhere that they went. They were blessed. They were blessed. And they found money in a fish mouth. I never found money in a fish mouth. I did catch a fish in 1 second, though. I'll tell you the story of that later. And that's for real. That's for real. But they were blessed. But they suffered. Why does the Bible teach about persecution and being considering it joy? But all we want to do is sit around about our prosperity. The only time I know that I'm blessed is if I have a big bank account and lots of nice stuff. That is not even the gospel. That's not the gospel. Jesus says, sell everything and go and follow me. That's the gospel. And if you do that, I will bless you, right? We just read it. If the kingdom of God is above all else, he's going to give you his everything that you need because you're going to change your mindset. All those things that you believe that you need through the prosperity gospel won't be what you need anymore because you lined up your thoughts, your heart, your word to the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of man. Okay? America is too strong in the church. It's too strong in the church. Your American beliefs are stronger than your Christian beliefs, and that's not okay. It's not okay. Because guess what? America won't always stand, but Christ always will. America hasn't always been here. But Jesus, the Creator, the Father in heaven, the Holy Spirit has been and always will be. Our children, the next generation, precious babies downstairs and right here. Some of you kids are in the crowd. So next generation is being taught that man begins and ends with himself. Knowledge only comes by what he himself can discover, and no standards are outside of himself, and that there is no such thing as sin, because you can find all truth within yourself because you are inherently good. That's what they're being taught. Especially in the public school system. Especially in CNN, ABC, NBC, any news station. I mean, Facebook, it's everywhere. We're in the age of just information. It's the information age. It's just flowing. And it's flowing out of one major stream. And it's not from heaven. And this mindset and these things being taught in many cases, this is literally the exact opposite. The exact opposite of the principles and the truths of the Bible. It's literally, almost word for word, the exact opposite of what the Bible says. Church, this is not a time not to know what you believe. This is not the time to not know what you believe and where it says that. Why do you believe that? Well, you know, I grew up in church. Who cares you grew up in church? Nobody cares that you grew up in church. Nobody. They want to know why you believe what you believe, not where you went to church. By the way, where you go to church doesn't make you saved. Your parents' faith doesn't make you saved. Your auntie, your uncle, whoever, that don't make you saved. It's your decision. It's your faith. It's your knowledge. That's the only way that you will ever be saved. That's the only way that you ever get to heaven. That's the only way that you can stand on the true word of God. Okay? If you don't stand on the word of God, you're going to stand for everything else. Confusion and chaos is a way of life in our world right now. But your life can be found unshakable if you build it upon God's word. See, the world says this, follow your heart. Man, how many times have you heard that, right? In a movie even. Follow your heart. It'll lead to destruction. And heartache and drunkenness. Hallelujah. Right? They don't say the rest of it, right? It'll lead to true love. till he breaks your heart by sleeping with your best friend. I mean, that's the truth, right? That's what happens in all these movies we watch and say, oh, it's such a great movie. What a great movie. What a bunch of junk, man. You literally love the movie that teaches the exact opposite of what God says is true love, truth, and you know, it's like, oh, I love that movie, right? Anyway, has anybody watched movies that when they were kids that you're like, oh, I love that movie, you watch it again, you're like, oh my goodness, they said that, they did that, that was in there, oh, right? Right, that's, I used to love Dumb and Dumber. That's bad, it's really bad. There's a lot of dumb things in there. Can you believe that, right? Okay. See, the world says, follow your heart, follow the human truths. Jesus says, come and follow me, because God said our hearts are wicked. Yeah. You don't believe it? Jeremiah 17, 5 through 10. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. Yeah. Cursed! You are cursed. Cursed. Oh, God says that. They're like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for a future. Some of you short people are even shorter. Okay. They will live in barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. Ugh. Got no hope, no future. But, I love the buts of the Bible, man. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along the riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. See, such trees are not bothered by the heat. See, the heat's coming. Or worried by the long months because the long months are coming. Or the drought because the drought's coming. Their leaves stay green. Don't lose your faith in the midst of trials. Their leaves stay green and they will never stop producing fruit. Now here's where it gets good. Verse 9, the human heart, put your hand on your heart, church. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things. I know it is because I've been there. And desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due reward according to what their actions deserve. That's either good, that's a good verse for you, or that's a bad verse for you. Jesus calls us to holiness, not self-fulfillment. Jesus calls us to obedience, not self-pleasures. Jesus calls us to deny ourselves. Jesus calls us to deny ourselves, not indulge ourselves. So thankful that the Father in heaven has sent his Son Jesus to rescue us. What an amazing thing. Who am I, Lord, that you would even be mindful, that you would even think of me? That you wouldn't even see me in my desperation. Man, I put myself there. I knew the truth, but I put myself in that hole. And the way that I got out is I tried to dig to China, right? I think I'll get there eventually. Instead of asking God, Dad, pull me out. Pull me out of this hole. I messed up again. Pull me out. So thankful the Father in heaven has sent his Son Jesus to rescue us from us. God opened the door to his kingdom with the keys of Christ. He is the gate. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Today's sermon is not one that encompasses the complete falsehood of the goodness of man and how we should counteract it as followers of Christ. See, that would take weeks to unpack. Weeks. This morning's message is to help jumpstart Christians to start thinking on their own again. I wanted to remind you this morning of what God's word says instead of just constantly blindly eating what the world keeps feeding you. Worship team, can you come? I'm going to say a few more things, and then guess what? Who likes homework? Five people. All y'all are going to hate this. I want to give you homework to go. Okay, this is super important. Right? It's cool to hear Pastor Harris because he's got a good sermon that God told him some things. But you know what makes cool ice cold? That's a song. Okay, an ice song, sorry. You laugh if you know. Okay, anyway. Ice cold. Okay, it's cool then cool. All right, okay. I got a squirrel. I have squirrels all the time. They're everywhere. I live in a squirrel tree. Sometimes I run out of nuts and they bite me and I just like, oh, go with it. Okay. But you know what's cooler than just hearing a great message? Living it. But you can't live it if you don't know it. So many people say live it, but you don't even know what you're living. Tell me why you believe that. If I said to you right now, in 2 minutes, I want to hear your testimony and why, pretend, just for 2 minutes, I want you to pretend that I'm an unbeliever and you have a relationship with me, and I want you in 2 minutes to get me to start saying the salvation prayer based off of your testimony. Go. If I said you could do that right now, if you can't do that, fall to your knees and ask God, Lord, reveal to me the truth of even my own salvation. Even my own salvation, that I can't share the gospel in 2 minutes about the most powerful, life-changing, incredible thing that's ever happened to me. And if you can do that, but you have no scriptures to back what you believe, that's also bad, right? This is not to condemn anyone, right? Oftentimes, the guy that stands here is a teacher that loves you, and he has to tell students how to get better in their knowledge, how to go further in their things. And sometimes this is a coach, right? I love sports. I played basketball since fourth grade all the way through college. I love sports. And what's cool about a coach is a coach loves you enough to get in your face and say, listen, you can give me more. I know things that you don't know about yourself. Get in there. This team needs you. Go make that three-pointer. We got 3 seconds left, and if you don't make it, we're going to lose this. But I know you can. And you walk out with the confidence that you just spot up, boom, buzzer, and right? And it's not about me. It's about the team and the coach believing in me, the Holy Spirit believing in me that I can do what he's called me to do, to hit that shot that I had to for the greater good of the entire team. But oftentimes, we just want to sit on the bench and say, somebody else can do that. Man, you need a good coach sometimes to get in your face and say, no, no, no. You are not living to your potential, right? You have more to do. You have more to do. There is more in you. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. And what's awesome is you can't do it alone. So I love being on a team. And there's some awesome, powerful things. I'm going to give you homework before we go today. I just want to read this information so you know why you're reading it, why you're going to study this, what this is going to do for you, okay? Here in a moment, I'm going to assign some homework, and it's going to hopefully get everyone to combat the philosophy of the goodness of man that you have in your life, because all of us have roots of that somewhere. It's just where we live. Why we always need to be back, put back to God's word. You're gonna combat the philosophy of the goodness of man with the goodness of God, okay? The Apostle Paul, he wrote this book called Romans, and he wrote it in 56 AD. This epistle, an epistle is a cool, fancy Jesus word for letter, right? The epistle is a mature statement of his understanding of the gospel. This book is full of great principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ, like these principles: God's plan for redemption through Christ, and humanity's need for it. What Christ did for us as a substitute sacrifice, and applying the gospel of Christ to our everyday lives. The book of Romans is commonly considered the greatest explanation of profound, logical, and orderly theological truths. Right? This is why you believe, this is what you believe, and this is how it goes. I'm here, I want to go here. Here is the theological way to get there. The overall themes that Paul seeks to demonstrate are these: that God is righteous, all men are sinful, God does not punish but forgives guilty sinners. Thank you. God's ways are righteous and different from man's ways of living. Believers will suffer until the final redemption comes. Persecution is knocking at the door of the church. Don't be a coward and start fearing. Get faithful and meet them at the door. God has perfect righteousness, and by his grace he forgives. Because of his great mercy from our unrighteousness, God shows us how to live a pattern of life constant with God's own righteousness and not man's righteousness. We are to present all that we are as a living sacrifice. We should let our daily lives be an expression of worship to God. Do not live according to the ways of the world, but let the Bible transform your mind. Think and act God's way. And how often can you do that? You can do it every day. Here's your homework. Please get out a piece of paper and pen if you can. I want to say this too. If you don't have a good Bible, or you don't understand your Bible, or you want another Bible, there's one right in front of you. If you're in the front, there's one behind you. Take it. It's yours. Just have it. That's it. Take it. I want to put more Bibles in these pews this week. And when I say me, I mean probably ask somebody else to do it for me. But good leaders and delegators, you know, I can't do everything. There's a lot going on. But I'm going to ask somebody else to put those in there. And I hope there's a lot of empty spots. If you need a Bible, that is your Bible. Take it. You can have it. That's an NLT version. And I believe I bought the ones that had red, which means that Jesus was talking. Okay? Here's your homework. I would love it if you would read all 16 chapters of Romans this week. I would love it. But maybe you're like me, and reading isn't the best. It's not the funnest, and maybe you're not so good at it. That's me. Here's what I want you to read at the very minimum. And listen, you can do it or not do it, but if you don't do it, you won't be blessed. If you do it, I'm telling you right now, I know from God, he told me, I believe this, that this will bless your life. At the very least, I want you to read these three chapters. Chapter 5, chapter 6, and I don't have 12 fingers. 12. I didn't think that all the way through when I started with my hand. 5, 6, 12. Church, will you stand? 5, 6, and 12. Romans. Read the whole thing if you can. Dig into 5, 6, and 12. Combat the things of this world, the teachings of this world, the philosophies of this world, the goodness of man philosophy versus the goodness of God. God is good. God is supreme. God is over all. And he could just let us just burn ourselves, but he wants to rescue us. He loves us. And there's a way to live that you can live rescued. Let me pray for you. Father, we love you. We thank you. We trust you. You're a good God. You're so good that you're not even, we don't even have a word for good. You're great. You're amazing. You're stupendous. You're the best word we can describe you with. And I thank you for that. It's not because of us, but because of you, that we can love you, that we can love others, and that we can be set free. Lord, I just ask that right now as people go and they read your word this week, Holy Spirit, I invite you right now in all their homes, all their lives, at work, wherever they go, they open their Bible up and they're gonna read Romans. They're gonna read the word that you inspired the Apostle Paul to write. That you're going to reveal some amazing things to them. Transform their mind, transform their hearts, transform their lives, not for the greater good of them, but for the greater good of you in their life. God, we just invite you right now, have your way, supernatural intellect to know what was just said. Even if you don't think you understand, God, may there be a shift, a change in their life. Sin go, and you must bow your knee to the power of the blood of Jesus. Thank you right now. We trust you. Amen. Amen.